Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Eric Fabio. I'm at Cornell, and I'm presenting data on a fairly substantial yield trial network for shrub willow, and I'll try to convince you of the superior performance of triploid hybrids. So first of all, I'd like to recognize my funding source. I'm part of NewBio, which is a USDA NEPA CAP project. And our mission is to develop robust supply chains for the Northeast for three biomass feedstocks, shrub willow, switchgrass, and miscanthus. And I'd like to point out one of our demonstration areas. This is a biomass crop assistance program in northern New York. You can see there on the right. It's a 9-county region, and there are 1,200 acres of commercially produce shrub willow there that are helping to supply two biomass-fired power plants in the region. So why shrub willow? It's a high-yielding, long-lived perennial crop that's easily propagated, and it's well-adapted to marginal lands. And from a breeding standpoint, there are a few interesting aspects, including large genetic diversity and the ability to hybridize fairly easily. So the main objectives of this research were to evaluate first rotation yield data from a network of yield trials, identify patterns in broad and narrow adaptation, and to develop cultivar recommendations and to inform future breeding efforts. So this is just a Google Earth shot of our trial locations. There are 16 trials here. There's a few others scattered about that we weren't able to include in the analysis. But these yield trials were established between 2005 and 2011. And today I'll be presenting on these 10 environments. They're ranging from Connecticut all the way to Saskatchewan. We had about 22 genotypes available for the analysis. They span a wide range of species and pedigrees, and which we've defined using these diversity groups that I've color-coded. And we have three check cultivars here that are underlined. And again, today I'll be presenting a subset of 16 of those genotypes. So this is just another Google Earth snapshot of one of our trials not too far from here in Waseca. And I want to point out that this image was taken in late April, and so we've got very early canopy development compared to the surrounding land uses. These trials are set up in a randomized complete block design with four replications and generally included about 8 to 30 genotypes. And here's another example from Vermont in early May. We have a yield trial here with the patchwork of genotypes, and then a large fertilizer trial to the left. So we have first rotation biomass yield data. This is on a 3-year rotation for 16 genotypes present in 10 environments. We used both manual and mechanical means for harvesting. This is a diagram of our treatment plots. So for each genotype, we have three double rows, and we collected our yield data inside this middle double row in the shaded area. And we also tried to gather as much environmental data as we could from publicly available databases. So for the statistical analysis, we chose the additive main effects and multiplicative interactions, or AMI model. This is a combination of analysis of variance and principal components analysis. So ANOVA is used to analyze the additive main effects of genotype and environment. And then PCA is performed on the residual of that analysis, which contains the G by E interaction. So I've got here the two-way factorial ANOVA model, and I'd like to point out that G by E interaction term is inherently composed of both signal and noise. So what we'll try to do with Amy is to use PCA on that interaction and try to concentrate the signal and reduce the noise. So to expand on that, here's the Amy model equation. The G by E interaction term is replaced by a series of interaction principal components terms. And those are composed of the singular value of the kth axis, and as well as the genotype and environment eigenvectors. So the AMI model is actually a family of models, and those are distinguished by the number of interaction terms that are included in the model. So the AMI 1 model would include the first interactions principal components term, the second would contain the first two, and so on, until we get to the full model, which would represent our full data, our raw data set. But typically what we do is only retain the first few axes, and that interaction signal is concentrated in those first few axes, and the remaining are relegated to a pooled residual. So we use the MAP Model Version 3 software for the AMI analysis, and we analyze the treatment design using PROC mixed in SAS. So here's the AMI model ANOVA table, and I want to first focus on genotype, the main effective genotype that's highly significant, as well as the interaction. And you can see that the interaction sums of squares are nearly double that of the genotype main effect, suggesting that the interaction is important for this data set. But again, I'll remind you that that G by E interaction is a combination of signal and noise. And we can estimate the G by E noise by multiplying the interaction degrees of freedom by the mean square error. And so we can partition that G by E variation into noise and signal. And I've included the first two interaction principal components here. And if we sum those together, we see that we can capture most of that signal and probably a little bit of the noise with those first two interaction components. And we've pooled the rest into an insignificant residual. So here are the genotype main effects, which represent broad adaptation. First of all, we see that our cultivar Fabius was the overall top yielding genotype. And it is a hybrid between Salix viminalis and Maya Biena. And the left side of this figure is dominated by that diversity group, then our tetraploids, both improved and unimproved, as well as the other triploid group, Salix purpurea by Maya Biena. And these are our check cultivars. So on multiple fronts, we've improved yield over those checks. Another useful tool in the AMI analysis is the AMI1 biplot. So we have the main effect of both genotypes and environments on the x-axis, and the interaction principal component scores for the first axis on the y-axis. And by including both genotypes and environments and main effects and interactions, we've accounted for 95.5% of the treatment sums of squares in this one figure. And it's also useful for interpreting relationships between genotypes and environments. So here we have our number one cultivar Fabius that's furthest along the x-axis, and it's also got a positive interaction score, as do these high-yielding environments. So those have a positive interaction, as opposed to Tully Champion, which has a negative score, as do these low-yielding environments. So Tully Champion has a positive interaction with these low-yielding environments. So we can look at that in a different way by plotting nominal yields, which are the AMI1 model yields with the effective environment removed, against our environment IPC1 scores, and we have our 10 environments here noted on the x-axis. So we have 16 lines here representing our 16 genotypes, and I've highlighted in color ones of relevance. So here in blue we have Fabius, and we can see in these higher yielding environments on the right side of the figure, it's top yielding. But we have a switch point here where Tully Champion outperforms Fabius in five of these lower yielding environments. And again, I can point out our Czech cultivars, and by combining Fabius, Tully Champion, we can outperform those across all environments. So this is an example of narrow adaptation. And I'd like to point out Otisco in green, which has a very shallow slope, indicating stable yields across environments. So it's fairly unresponsive across environments. So in this table, I'll try to work through, we have three members of that AIMEE model family. First, we have the AIMEE-1 model, which includes only the first interaction principle component. And then the AIMEE-2 model, which includes both the first and second. And then our AIMEE-full model, which is equivalent to the raw data. And I tried to highlight our winning genotypes. So we have the ranks for the top five genotypes in each of our 10 environments. And these are sorted by their interaction scores. So Fabius, again, is the winner in five of the 10 environments. And Tully Champion is the winner in these five, which were the lower yielding environments. And then the only difference we see between the AIMEE-1 model and the AIMEE-2 model is that in one environment, the genotype Canastota outperforms both Tully Champion and Fabius. But the other patterns still hold true. And why this matters is because if we look at the full raw data set, we actually have seven winning genotypes across our 10 environments. So the AIMEE model can greatly simplify the analysis and give us a clear picture of top performing genotypes by focusing in on that G by E signal. And finally, we were interested in correlating some of the environmental variables that we have with our main effect of environment yield and the environment IPC1 scores. So we can see that both the main effect of yield and the interaction had positive correlations with variables relating to temperature and to precipitation, as well as some of our geographic variables. So this means that we have some agronomic basis for the patterns that we're seeing. So to summarize, AIMEE was effective in identifying broad and narrow adaptation. Fabius was the overall winner and was narrowly adapted to favorable environments. Tully Champion was adapted to low yielding environments, and Otisco exhibited stable yields across all environments. And all three of these genotypes are triploid hybrids of the Salix viminalis by Maya Biena cross. And they're currently being used as Czech cultivars for evaluating our new material. So I'd like to acknowledge all of our contributors, all our collaborators that contributed data for the analysis, our funding agencies for trial establishment and harvesting came largely from the Sun Grant Initiative and the DOE Regional Feedstock Partnership. And again, I'm funded through NuBio, and fortunately they're just way too many people to thank. It takes thousands of person hours to harvest and maintain these trials. But with that, I'll take any questions.
Did you get to name that one?
No. No, they're all named for small towns in New York. Larry Smart is the breeder. He's my advisor.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.